From the Land Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report for the 26th day of February 2021. I'm Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Mike Zuzulo. He's at GlobalComResearch.com out of Atchison, Kansas. We'll review something we heard yesterday from Gary Schnitke as it relates to crop insurance and the decisions that producers will need to make between now and the 15th day of March, especially as it relates to ECO, enhanced coverage option, and the cost of that. We'll also talk about the weather forecast today with Eric Snodgrass from Nutrien Ag Solutions, and we'll do it all on this Friday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. It's public radio for the farming world.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
March corn today in Chicago finished the nearby at 5.55 and a half, 0.75 cents higher. The May down 2.25 at 5.47 and a half, and December contract at 4.70 and 3/4, 3.25 cents lower. The March soybeans at $14 a nickel and a quarter, 3/4 lower. The May at 14.04 and a quarter, down 3.25. November beans down 7.75. They finished the day at $12.23. The bean meal at $4.23.20, 90 cents lower. The bean oil at $51.34, up 38 cents. And wheat futures soft red at $6.55, 16.75 lower. The hard red down 19.5 cents. Live cattle futures were down $1.67.5 for the day. Feeders were off $1.75, and the lean hogs were $2.60 lower on the afternoon. Crude oil down $1.56 a barrel. Mike Zuzulo now joins us from GlobalComResearch.com out of Atchison, Kansas. Good afternoon to you, Michael.
Happy Friday, Todd, and good afternoon.
Well, good Friday to you as well. We've finished up the week. We've set the prices, though I haven't looked at them yet, for crop insurance. I'll try to get to those if we can a bit later in the program. And volatility has been really big throughout the week. That'll make a difference in how much crop insurance actually costs.
Yeah.
However, you and I need to discuss what happened in Chicago today. What was the trade like?
It could have been a lot worse. I think that's how I would define this trading day since Wednesday, when the African swine fever news finally broke, in terms of not just anecdotal evidence or commentary. And I think we may have even talked about that on the last commodity week, where I'd been picking
2 weeks ago.
Yeah, right. We had been talking about, and I'd been getting some information back from some people dealing in China, that the African swine fever was not going away. And in fact, it was in their biggest part of their hog herd country, the north and northeast parts, and it was moving south, or south moving north. And the mindset, I think, Todd, after that news broke from a variety of sources, including news wires and some genetic companies over in Europe, was, wait a minute, we were worried that Brazil wouldn't be able to ship enough beans to China, and that then maybe they'd have to come to us heading into early March. But then when that news broke, the soy meal futures in China broke substantially. They went down about $20 a ton since midweek, from what I can see. But after that, in that break in the meal futures, the trade started putting two and two together that maybe they don't even need to crush the meal, because the hogs are actually in a new type of strain that they end up dying anyway. And so they're going to have to cull a bunch more hogs. And we were heading into today's trade that way. We hit the January low in soy meal. We took it out by 60 cents. We bounced off of it, and that kind of set the stage for a recovery. And what I really liked about today's close was the March corn came back around, made new daily highs. We increased the premium in the March against the May corn. The meal held its inversion, March premium to May. And soybeans actually were able to come back and go back from a carrying charge market to a small inverted market. And so the structure of the market is still intact, even though it was a really messy week.
Yeah, it was very messy. It looked like it might tip. I suppose that's still could be the case, but at least we made it through the end of the month trading. And I'm wondering, because of that, might it have been some evening up at the end of the month, and could next week look better?
Yeah, I think that was the momentum that took hold probably yesterday, especially with the outside markets and that risk on trade giving way. And I think that's what really spilled us over into a little bit more heavier volume liquidation. And I think it is worth mentioning, and I think it's something we really, like you say, have to watch. We got away with it this week, but that risk-off trade because of the currencies and the emerging markets is still with us because the Brazilian real is going to be at its early January lows after today. The Chinese currency is going to be at its late January lows. Mexican peso, it's at its lowest point against the dollar since all the way back in mid-October of last year, and the Russian ruble was making one-month lows when we went on the air. So you got to realize, I think, if you're in our situation in the commodity sector, that those big countries, their selling power is going up, so they're getting more competitive, and their buying power, especially in the case of China, is going down. And so they're going to be a lot more picky, I think, on the demand side, unless we really do have problems continue in northern Brazil.
You know how long ago it was that we actually talked about ASF? While you were talking, I was running back through my Twitter account to see which week it was, because I talked with you and I talked with Jim Lowe that same week. You were on Friday, and I had Jim on earlier in the week, Vet Med, talking about ASF. That was January the 27th.
Yeah, and I think we did mention it too on the Commodity Week with Wayne and Kurt and Carl about the demand in China. If memory, I may be wrong, but I think we talked a little bit about it then too. And you know, the idea here is it good enough profit to sell? Yes. Can it come back around and make new highs like 2008? Yes. And so you just simply structure your market plan that way by not overselling your cash bushels and choose times where you get pullbacks to lay some longs back in case we have any springtime weather issues. I'm not as worried about the summertime at this point, Todd, because we're recharging some moisture levels east of the Mississippi River. I'm still worried about the summer back in this part of the country, though.
What about Argentina? It looks like they've been dry and they're going to stay dry.
Yeah, this is the great, whistling past the graveyard type scenario where I think they're really in trouble. But the trade is really just ultra focused on Brazil. Why? Because Brazil's the one that's going to take our business away from China. If they can get their act together infrastructure wise, diesel price wise, harvest, weather, rain wise. But Argentina is still the king when it comes to meal. And I told clients this week, as long as we stay above that January low in 417.60 in the lead month meal, especially with March futures in delivery, meal is my leader out of this hole. Because if the Chinese need the beans, they're going to crush the meal. If they need the meal futures at the Dalian Exchange is going to rally, and we'll get our cue off of that.
So you mentioned Brazil, second crop corn. I'm not sure how far along planting is at this point. Have you been keeping track?
Yeah, about 40% at the middle of this week, as opposed to 80%.
So they're behind, and they're worried, I suppose, because you get behind there and you just run out of wet weather at some point.
Yeah, and I looked at the 14-day models, 14-day preset models before we went on air for the pampas regions of Argentina is really the key, because that's about 60, just a very small area is about 60% of the corn crop, whereas with Brazil, Mato Grosso is kind of the same way. It's about 60% of the second crop corn, and Mato Grosso still looks very, very wet. Argentina looks very, very dry. I would still submit to you that if the corn's going to go lower, it's not going to be because of wheat. It's going to be because, and not because of itself, but because of the soybeans. And I think that's really where I sit, because I just don't see a lot of competition in the corn other than that ethanol uncertainty with the energy sector.
Soybeans lead. Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Todd. Have a great weekend, sir.
You too. That's Mike Zerzlo. He's at globalcomresearch.com out of Atchison, Kansas. You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. It is public radio for the farming world. Find us online at willag.org. That's willag.org. Usually about this time of year, you'd find a great big banner there that says the All Day Ag Outlook is coming up in the month of March. That's not there, because we're not going to hold the All Day Ag Outlook this year. You probably know the reasons why, but frankly, if you've listened, you know that more than a couple of the analysts have been ill over the last 6 months, and I'm not willing to take that risk. So no All Day Ag Outlook in the month of March. However, I will tell you it was scheduled for the 16th day, and that's important. Or could be, because usually about that time, if there's going to be a change in the marketplace, it comes. just after the all-day ag outlook. So keep track of that in your mind. Speaking of that 16th day of March, it's one day after your decisions are due for both the ARC PLC decision and the crop insurance ECO decision. Now, yesterday, you heard me talk with Gary Schnitke on this program about the ECO, or enhanced coverage option, and crop insurance decisions. And I thought it was worth running at least the part with his recommendations again. So here's Gary.
Yeah, so given the premiums on those, I think most farmers may think about the 90% policy. I would first tell farmers to keep their RP coverage as high as they can, that they feel like they can keep it, 80-85% in northern and central Illinois, 75-80% in southern Illinois, and then think about adding ECO on top of it. ECO isn't a game changer, but it will offer some good risk protection.
In between those two, would you purchase the SEO or just not?
So if you're at an 85% RP policy, you know, the SEO isn't going to offer much protection. If you're at 80% coverage level, SEO will have a little bit higher premium, $5 to $6 in northern and central Illinois. It will offer good protection. I would do the ECO 90% before SCO if you're looking at keeping premium at a certain level. And ECO will always make its maximum payment before SCO kicks in.
So just to review those recommendations, buy the RP product where you normally would, probably 80 or 85%. In particular, if you're at 85%, there's no need for SEO because it just covers a 1 percentage point income area. And then think about the 90% coverage. 95% coverage gets really expensive in the ECO, but 90% is going to cost something like $10 or $12, he thinks. And that may very well be worth it. However, it may be $10 or $12 that just goes away. If it does pay, it'll pay probably $6 more than you paid for it. So now, don't take my word for it. You'll want to get this from Gary directly. You can do that next Thursday. That's the 4th day of March, so you still have plenty of time to make your decision as it's related to crop insurance at the winter webinar series that I've been hosting for the FarmDoc team. Gary will be there on Thursday, March 4th at 11 o'clock. There's already a link at willag.org. Just hit the link and get yourself registered. If you've been attending them in the past, you're already registered. You don't have to worry about it. Otherwise, it's free. Get yourself registered at willag.org. On this Friday afternoon, let's talk about the agricultural weather forecast for the United States and for South America as well. We'll start in the U.S., and Derek Snodgrass joins us from Nutrien Ag Solutions to discuss what's been taking place. Boy, it's a lot more comfortable this week than it was last week. Really mild conditions, Eric.
Yeah, and that time period of like February 3rd through the 18th or 19th, it ranks as a top three cold air outbreak going back to 1893. So that was substantial. You know what's funny about that, Todd, is most people are going to remember this winter from that event. They won't remember the fact that the beginning was so mild and now we are here again with mild conditions. It'll all be about how bad it was in February. But yeah, I mean, this weekend, drier conditions here in Illinois. We're going to be seeing temperatures. I mean, my kids are kind of through the roof because I told them it's going to be mid-50s on Saturday, maybe even warmer than that. And the mild conditions, let's just talk about that, because the farther out we look into the month of March, the more we continue to see that not only the models, but all of the reasons why the models could give us warmer conditions are there. So it appears as though as we move forward, we're going to go back into what we saw, which was when there is cooler air, it's just not going to be around for very long. And to be honest with you, even the cooler air that we saw from, you know, what was it, February, gosh, maybe 10th through the 18th, that was only about a week of brutally cold air. So milder conditions, and it's going to get a lot of folks thinking about getting in the fields and getting things done. And I just want to make up one comment about it. We sometimes worry that if it goes mild in March, that that means it's going to go brutally cold in April. And there is no statistical evidence to support that. In fact, the correlation between March temperatures and April temperatures is plus 0.2. Now, that's not high, but it generally means, historically, we've had more warm Aprils that have followed warm Marches. Now, we do not know yet if it's going to give us that, but the models right now suggest that April could be mild too. So I'm happy to be able to say good things about the upcoming forecast for Illinois as we get started today.
Wait, did you just tell me that we're going to have a warm March?
Yeah, and I think it's, you know, but remember, March, this is still the end of winter, so warm is relative, right?
That's true. That is true. So about this warmth, sometimes that comes with a lot of wet, especially the further south we go, and they'll be wanting long before farmers in the Midwest think about getting into the field to be getting in the field into the Mid-South and down into the Delta region.
Yeah, you're right. And the issue is right now, two things. One, remember some of that early planted corn and soybeans that were way down in southern Texas, right? They just got all that cold air, sub-freezing soil temperature, so there's a problem there. Now, over the next 7 maybe to 10 days, you paint a picture from like Dallas to North Carolina. That region, everywhere in between, including the Mid-South, so Arkansas, the lower Mississippi River Valley, we're expecting some places to have an additional, compared to normal, 2 to 3 to 4 inches of rainfall. Meanwhile, it's relatively dry across a broader section here of the United States over the next week.
Oh, that brings me to the D word, or drought, as it's related to the United States. What are your thoughts?
Well, Todd, I have good news for you, okay? I know that your farms over there in central Illinois, well, I've seen the latest updates from the U.S. Drought Outlook, and they are trying through spring to help eliminate that. Now, that's good. What I'm concerned about is that the same folks are forecasting, and there's a lot of evidence for this, that portions of the southern plains start to dry back out again. In fact, we saw the latest drought monitor get updated yesterday, and now there's more places around the Red River Valley of the South that are dry. Now, since we brought up the Red River Valley, remember, there's one in the north as well. And that one up there in the Dakotas, well, just gave a talk last night to a group in South Dakota as well. And I told those folks, and I'll tell it to you, they need double their normal rainfall for the next 2 months to be completely corrective on the drought situation there. And in California, they're all praying for what they call a miracle March, which is where they just get this great onshore flow. They're going to get part of a miracle March. It looks like that after about the next 8 or 9 days, they're going to get flow that comes directly from Hawaii right over California and gives them a wet go of it for about 10 plus days. But I don't think it'll be enough to correct the fact that we still have over 60% of the U.S. in drought situation right now, which means, also given the La Nina, the cool water off the Baja, that we have an increased risk over normal of having drier conditions here by summertime. So we'll keep that narrative going between the two of us as we think here about spring and summer.
And it sounds like the mild winter we've had here, but all we'll remember is the cold air. And all, the, yeah. All they're going to remember is the dry conditions. South America, what do you have as an update?
Well, we know that they're behind on harvesting, and most of that is largely due to the late planting for the soybeans in the north. So that means the Safrina corn crop, which, talking to a couple of friends here, they suggest that if the Safrina corn crop isn't completely planted by really the next 4 or 5 days, that we are now outside of the optimal window for that crop to be successful. And right now, I mean, it's less than 50% planted. It may be even less than that. So there's a lot of worry and concern over those things. Argentina, though, now is really starting to show up as a major area of concern. There are some places in Argentina, and I'm talking some important places between like Buenos Aires and Cordoba and Santa Fe, where we didn't measure on some of their weather stations any February precipitation. Now, they're drier over the next 2 weeks. The heat is starting to build back in. And honestly, for some of that crop, it's the equivalent of like late July and early August. So you think about those weather factors starting to eat away at what we're getting out of Argentina's potential, you know, productivity this year. And it just says that I think there's still some support in the markets on the weather side of things coming out of South America.
Indeed. Hey, thank you. We'll talk with you again next week.
Yeah, thanks.
That's Eric Snodgrass. He joined us on this Friday edition of the Closing Market Report. It came to you from Illinois Public Media.